Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you back to another episode of Name Who's Hosting the Show.
What just happened?
I'm saying.
Name
Who's Hosting the Show.
Hold up. So
which host is missing today?
Wait, is this like Let's Make a Deal or What's Behind Door Number One? Or is this like Final Jeopardy?
It's like final something. You got to guess which host is missing, which I'm sure is obvious at this point.
Hello, Black Law and Legalized family. I've missed you so much.
Sure, she did.
Do you hear the emotion in my voice?
3 weeks. I'll be there. I'm on my way. I'm coming. Oh, COVID got me.
Hold up.
COVID got me again. Got me a third time.
Let me tell you something.
I took the Pfizer shot, then I took the Moderna, and they ain't interact
COVID
together well.
It's not a joke. I actually had COVID. So have you. It is not a joking matter.
First of all, you had COVID light.
No, I did not have COVID is COVID. Ain't no such thing as COVID light.
COVID light.
Whatever.
I had the real shit where was like coughing up my lungs, couldn't move, body aches, temperature. You talking about some? I just can't taste shit.
I couldn't smell anything. I couldn't taste anything.
That's like a regular allergy season.
At night, I was having leg cramps, night sweats. It was horrible.
That's like opioid withdrawal.
At one point, thought I was going to die. I was waking up jumping because I lit in my mind. Maybe it was psychosomatic because in my head, I literally thought I was fighting sleep because I thought I was going to die in my sleep.
Oh, so you was doing Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's right. Don't go to sleep. Like, stay up. It was real. This is not a joke. And then even after having COVID.
Let me guess, you had some lasting effects.
I did. That's, you know what? You don't believe shit until it actually happens to you.
So you didn't believe.
No, I'm talking about you. Because listen to what you say. Let me guess. You had after effects.
So
like that wasn't real.
I had COVID like 9 months before you had COVID.
Okay. And
I ain't got no lasting effects.
Just
except
to let
for
you know,
it did take one of my kidneys.
Just to let you know, you talk about me having COVID light. I had COVID ready. I had COVID that had mutated. Listen to what you said. You had COVID when it first hit ground. I had COVID nine months later.
I had dead stock COVID.
After it had mutated and learned how to live in the human body to the best of its ability. I had COVID at its peak. After it had trained. I had Mike Tyson COVID. What you talking about?
Wait, you had the crazy Mike Tyson COVID.
No,
I had
the docile Mike Tyson in the 90s COVID. I had Iron Fist Mike Tyson COVID.
Nah, I ain't rolling with that.
Whatever.
See, COVID, did COVID take one of your kidneys?
You didn't have it for COVID to take.
How do you know?
Because the doctor said so.
Doctors didn't say that.
Doctors said you only
have one kidney.
Doctor said.
So COVID could have took it.
Nope, from birth.
Nope. They don't know that. They wasn't there when I was born.
Know.
They didn't scan me when I was born.
They know.
Shit.
They know.
So, ladies and gentlemen, today we are missing Afro Becky because let me tell you what happened right quick, right? So she was ready to record. We were all set up in our heads. And, you know, here go Ann. I'll be there at 1:00. I'm coming this week. I'll be there at 1:00.
That's false.
And then Becky's waiting around. Well, shit, I got my nail appointment at 2:15. So, fuck y'all. Peace out. And, you know, last week we found out her blackness was coming into question from time to time. Mm. That was some black ass shit to do. Fuck y'all. I'm out.
No. Well, no. Basically, I have a nail appointment. That is like the blackest, or a hair appointment. You know, that's some black woman shit. It's true. Y'all not going to mess up my nail or hair appointment. Period.
Exactly. So anyway, Black Law Podcast, keep up with us, social media, all platforms at Black Law Podcast. I am Dan. You can keep up with me on Twitter and on IG at I am Dan on Drugs.
Hey, and Ann in the building, finally. And you can keep up with me at I Tell Legalize on Twitter.
You don't post nothing.
I don't. I wait for people to ask me questions, though. They can ask me questions. They can DM me.
How many unlooked at notifications do you have right now?
On Twitter?
Yeah.
None, because I looked at them today.
Today.
Thank you very much. Today.
So today, The past few episodes prior to you going MIA and AMI and AIM and all that
and
shit.
And AIG.
Yeah.
And all FBI, that. CIA.
We were talking about taxes. We were talking about self-employment. The stimmy, y'all. We were talking about that too.
Man, I ain't talking about none of that shit because I ain't getting none.
You rich. Us poor people, we need our stimmies.
Lies.
We need
and
our
garbage.
Stimmies. I need another, what was the last one?
$1,400.
Per person, right?
Yep.
And then the IRS talking about some level up shit too.
Yeah, but you ain't getting that.
I could level up.
You can't level up.
I could amend my tax return and level
and
up.
And who you gonna put it on? Who you gonna put on it? In order for you to level up.
Paul's grandbaby.
For real?
I took it.
Who was born this year, like two seconds shit. Ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Huh.
Anyway.
Okay, so this round of stimulus is $1,400 per person, right? On the tax return.
Per dependent. That's
the
correct.
The income cutoff is like, what, 80?
80.
And that's just like a hard cutoff
that
right
is
there.
80 if you are single. It's different if you're head of household or married filing joint.
150.
It goes up. Right.
And then cutoff. So it's kind of similar to the past two stimmies. Now,
no, it's not. It's very different.
Well, the past two stimulus.
In the past two, if you had dependents on your tax return that were 16 years old or younger, you received stimulus money for them. And the third one, because there was such an outcry, they don't give a damn. Everybody can get it. So it don't care if you're blind, crippled, or crazy, 8 to 80. It don't matter as long as there are dependents on your tax return. You got $1,400 for them.
So before we're talking about tracking these stimmies down, because there are still quite a few people who didn't get their stimmies.
First, second, or third.
None of them. And this is something I want to bring up because we talked about it on the show like years ago. But in our community, we do this thing,
here
right?
Here you go.
We do
here
this thing where we... Wait, what happened to the iPad?
What you mean?
Ain't your iPad.
This is my iPad.
They ain't no pro.
Nah.
Yes. The pro got squared edges.
Bruh, this is the pro. This is my iPad.
You got the old pro.
You know what? You real drugged out right now.
Okay. I need some drugs. In our community, what we do come tax time is if we did not make a lot of money this year, right? Or any money this year, we will sell our kids to somebody else to claim on their tax return at quite the inflated price, right? Because you
like
know how
five,
much
$500 to $1,000 per.
I've heard up to $1,500
could be correct,
and that's something that we routinely do, and I'm sure white folks
do it too.
That's
something that we routinely hear. How much is a child worth?
How much is a child worth? I'm just trying to figure out how much I got to pay my sister out of my tax return. So all these years when that have gone by. And I don't know if it's a loophole or if it's just straight up beating the system, getting over on some illegal shit. That's some illegal shit, right? Or is it a loophole?
What you mean?
Selling your child is illegal, but the person that's claiming that child on their tax return, is that illegal or is that a loophole?
Okay, so technically it is illegal. If you are claiming a child, well, let me back up a little bit. If you are claiming tax credits that you're not eligible for, you are committing tax fraud. So once again, technically it is illegal. The reason why people do it and tend to get away with it for the most part is because the IRS does not have the manpower to audit every tax return they receive. Because think about it, they receive hundreds of millions of tax returns.
About 300 million.
And contrary to popular belief, the IRS is not made up of a bunch of machines. There are people that work in these offices.
And paper.
Right. There are people working in these offices who actually do the work. So especially in something when you talk about review and audit and income verifications and identity verifications in those departments, you know, fraud and everything else, people work in those departments. And because they work in the, there are people, they don't, as I said at the top of this, they don't have enough manpower to actually review or audit every return that comes through with certain credits on it. So for the most part, even though the IRS has instituted all of these new safeguards, because they have, believe it or not, they have become extremely tight with the way they process tax returns now. Because, you know, back in the day, you file a tax return, 10 days later, you got the whole thing.
Not only that, now this is somebody I know who's a CPA told me at one point that, and it might have even been pre-Katrina-ish, I don't know, at one point, you didn't even need a dependent's social or birth date or name or something. Like, you could make up a dependent and put it on that tax refund, tax return, and receive earned income credit, child tax credit for a child that doesn't exist.
And then 2 years later is when the IRS would catch it and send you out a letter.
So now they did catch it.
Well, here's what used to happen back in the day. You filed a tax return. Now, with the advent of electronic filing, that is difficult. You know, making up a person in a social, that is difficult. But prior to modernized e-file and the e-filing program period, when, exactly like I said, you actually had, everything was on paper, people had, you know, shuffling through all this stuff, it was easy to get away with all sorts of things. You know, I know people who actually use their dogs as dependents. But this was...
Side note, you should be able to claim a dog.
You know, there was, I think I made mention of this before, there was something called the PALS Act. Members of Congress actually wanted to make it legal to do that. Because let me tell you, animals, and anybody who has fur babies know this, they are about as expensive as children. They really are.
Or lizards, not just ones with fur.
Like
snakes.
I said, they are... Animals are expensive to maintain if you're doing it correctly.
Damn right, man. My pit bull I had back in the day, love that dog. I got her like straight from the litter. She's like maybe 8-10 weeks old. And I'm like, oh, all it is dog food and
oh, no.
A couple of shots here and there.
Oh, no.
Man, the dog food, first of all, I wouldn't feed my dog that old, what was it called? Old Roy?
Old Roy?
Yeah.
That's like rot gut dog
man,
food.
I tried to give her some of that shit one time. She looked at me like, nigga, please.
You eat it. No, you eat it. Mm-hmm.
So she only ate the lamb and rice, yuca nuba or some shit, I think
and
it was called.
Yuca nuba is expensive.
Yes, especially for an 18-year-old who's delivering pizza. Man, and then all the different vaccinations. Mm-hmm. This was before you can shop around online or whatever. You had to go to a vet and get this, and then the heartworm shit.
Mm-hmm.
Man. I was literally spending, I would say at the highest, hundreds of dollars a month on my dog. And this was a fucking puppy, yo.
Like I said, dogs, animals, period. Pets, if you treat your pets the right way, they are extremely expensive. But we digress. Going back to what I was saying. But with the advent of computerized tax returns and making it easier to... check the information for accuracy, you can't do that anymore. Because you make up a social security number, you know yourself,
it's gonna get kicked
you
back.
Send it, right. Because they're matching dependents, they're matching you against social security's records. You know, they do that digitally. So if it's not, in another sidebar, speaking of how you know, they do it instantaneously. I've had clients and I've had to literally help these clients prove to Social Security that they're alive. I've had clients' tax returns reject because the Social Security Administration has sent information to the IRS that the person with this Social Security number, last name, year of birth is deceased.
How does that happen?
Keystroke error, maybe. I have no clue how this happens, but somebody hits a button because, once again, everywhere, Social Security is not just computers. It's people. People entering information, people monitoring information. So all it takes is a clerk tapping the wrong thing and you're dead. Some people might think that's a good thing to be dead digitally, but and alive physically.
Let's explore that right quick. Okay, so I'm dead digitally, right? Mm-hmm. I can't get a loan.
No.
I can't open a bank account.
Nope.
Huh.
But you can reinvent yourself. Because if you personally are dead, that means all your debts are dead, right?
Yeah.
So if somebody can be dead digitally, they can also be alive digitally. You know, people change, and this is not legal. People change identities quite often.
How do I get
quiet
a new,
as it's kept?
How do I get a new social security number?
I know back in the day, and this is purely for informational purposes, I'm not saying that any of this is true.
Wink, wink.
And it is still happening today. Yes, it is. What you used to do is find, you know, go to a cemetery and find somebody who died like
recently.
6 months. No, like died at 6 or 7 months or, you know, who are alive long enough to get a social security number.
So when you say 6 or 7 months, you mean 6 or 7 months old when they died. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So old enough to get a social security number, right?
Mm-hmm.
Around your same age, of course, same gender, whatever, whatever. So take that person, you know, back in the day, it was easy to walk into a social security office and get, well, it was easy to go and get a birth certificate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then using a birth certificate to go get a driver's license. And then armed with a driver's license and a birth certificate, walk into social security office and get a social security card.
So social security back then wouldn't know that this person was dead.
Not necessarily.
And even if they did, you can say they did know that this person was dead. You can say, what y'all talking about? Look, here's my driver's license. Right? Here's my birth certificate. Mm-hmm. Y'all got some shit all fucked mm-hmm. up.
Just like I said, you could be digitally dead. Going back to these clients who you send a tax return and Social Security says this person is listed as dead. And you walk into Social Security and you say, here I am. Here's my ID. Here's my birth certificate. Here's some bills. Here's this. Here's that. And the people at Social Security look at you and say, oh, yeah, you alive. Click.
But
they give you a letter.
And they don't have pictures, do they, in Social Security other than the DMV information? See, and that's why all these different agencies, I know they're starting to talk more.
Now.
All mm-hmm. these different agencies need to be like linked up and they to should. The same
that,
system.
That's it. That would seem like common sense. I mean, we've had conversations or I've had conversations with people about exactly what we're talking about. And I know it got kind of convoluted and we took several sidebars. But ultimately, what the conversation was about was having dependents on a tax return that are not necessarily yours.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had conversations about, you know, most of these people that Dan talks about how, okay, I'm going to sell my kids because I don't work. I'm on public assistance. Their children are on their housing application. They're on their WIC and SNAP applications. They have to be in order for them to get benefits for these kids, right? So you would think, just like the IRS and Social Security link up to say, this is you or this is your dependent, this information is correct.
The public assistance.
You know, it would be, it's a federal agency. You know, it's federal funds, even though it's run by the state. You would think if I send in a tax return and I have dependent 1, 2, and 3 on it, but I do a cross reference for which is actually something that they are starting to do. I'll get back to that in a minute. But going back to the cross reference, dependent 1, 2, and 3 are on my tax returns or on my tax return, but dependent 1, 2, and 3, they're on somebody else's housing app or DSNAP app or, you know, something like that. That should throw up a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
So as I said, like a minute ago, that actually is happening more and more. The IRS is getting savvy because they lose billions of dollars a year in fraudulent tax returns.
So you deal with this kind of thing regularly during the tax season, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you something. When you see somebody who you know is gaming the system as far as the kids on their that they're claiming on their tax return are nephew, niece, them been claimed by about five other different family members too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see them get back these, like this year, these $9,000, $10,000, $11,000
tax
mm-hmm. refunds, and they actually get funded.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel?
Okay, are we talking in my role as a legal professional?
Nah.
Or
as
in
a
my role
human, as a person?
Just me being just Dan.
Yeah. Not as a legal, not no objective bullshit. Like, how does that make, man, that look, has to piss you off?
It fucks me up, kind of, because it's like, you know, I know how to game the system. I can game the system with the best of them, but I don't because of my integrity.
Aren't you currently being audited?
I don't. Audited by who?
The IRS.
Man, that was 57 years ago. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm just saying. Man.
Just to let you know, people can be audited and not have any fraud on their tax return. Because
absolutely.
as we say, the good have to suffer for the bad. And people get caught up in the IRS's net because they sling it wide hoping to draw in all the big fish. But saying that, as a person, as I said, I can game the system with the best of them. I could be sitting on ass pockets full of money on the regular, but I don't, because like I said, there is something within that stops me from going too far. You know, I blur the lines a little bit because I've learned how to stay within the law. If I can make an argument and it's a cogent argument and it is a cogent legal argument, I will do it.
I was about to say, because I can make an argument that Tupac's still alive.
And I'm saying, like, that's why I said cogent legal argument.
Right.
If I can make this argument and in my head it's like, yep, I have done that for clients. So I go back to my version of the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't lie. I just tell people my version of the truth. And if my version of the truth is plausible, that's good enough for me. But at the point where I say, yeah, I took care of these five kids and these five kids live in California and I live in the state of Louisiana and that's my sister's kids and my sister, you know, she don't work. She don't really file a tax return. So I'm just going to do this because, you know, they are my nieces and nephews and I'm going to get this money. I've seen so many people get caught up paying the IRS tens of thousands of dollars back because they thought to themselves, well, I could do this.
So got a question, but first I'm gonna make a statement. That shit pisses me off too. When I see those tax refunds of people, especially people that I know, like personally, like, yeah, I just claim my homegirl's children. Yeah, I just claim so-and-so children. Yeah, I just claim, and they're random children with no relation to the person, but yet on that tax return, they throw on their nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they
sons and daughters,
they getting all this money back, and in some cases, the money, especially this year, and I want to say last year, the money that they're getting back on their tax refund is actually more than they made.
Mm-hmm.
As far as earned income for that entire year.
Because of the CARES Act and other COVID legislations, it allowed you to use your 2019 income, earned income,
mm-hmm.
to calculate earned income credit and additional child tax credit. And what's crazier about that, you will be able to do that in 2021's tax return as well.
Use 19 again?
Use 19 again.
Hmm.
So if you don't work all year and all you had was unemployment, which I've seen, you can walk away with 10 grand riding on the coattails of 2019's earned income.
Man, that's some bullshit. And even prior to COVID, I'm like, that's some bullshit. And I was just hoping that the IRS started getting more hip. I mean, I understand that they do have a very limited budget for the type of department they are. But they have gotten
more hip. That's the
right,
thing.
Right, right. The thing that I love that they started doing, one of them is, as you mentioned earlier, the income verification.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, you could just make some shit up, mm-hmm. make up a fake mm-hmm. W-2.
Mm-hmm.
What's the sweet spot? About 15 grand, two kids?
Give or take. Three kids, 17.
And I'm getting all kinds of money back. But now you send that shit into the IRS, and they're like, nah, son, this don't match up. But
that's if they catch you. See, like I said, what you see more often than not is, so about 3 or 4 years ago, I want to say, the IRS recalibrated their programs to tighten the net, so to speak, on things that they thought were red flags. So you actually see more people getting audited now than you ever have. And that's because of their red flags program. It will kick a tax return into like income verification or identity verification or review.
That's the question I had, actually, is speaking of that, I'm asked about those two, but the letter that the IRS sends out that you have to 60-day
review.
Prove your dependents are your dependents.
Oh, that's an audit.
Okay, that's an audit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, unless you know the exact answer, triggers that letter to go out? Because in my head,
that is one of, I do know the exact answer.
Okay.
That is one of the new red flag. That is one of the new red flag calibrations, so to speak, that they've made to their programs. So, if you see a single man with the, and this is legit a red flag in the IRS's eyes. If you have a single man with non-school age kids, right? So say you have a single man with a 3-year-old on his tax return, a 5-year-old on a tax return, and maybe like an 8 or 9-year-old. So the 8 or 9-year-old would probably be in school, right? The 5-year-old would probably be in Head Start, maybe, that kindergarten?
5, yeah, because I think first grade start around 6.
Okay, so Head Start, kindergarten, and then 3-year-old, you living alone should be like daycare, right? And you don't have any daycare on your tax return. And you don't have like information regarding school. Or things of that nature. That is a red, like the single man with 3 kids, that's a red flag that could get you kicked into audit. You see, same holds true for a single woman, but it's slightly different. You see a single woman with 3 kids, income about $4,000 or $5,000, and you try to claim the head of household filing status, but you don't see anything regarding daycare or other things. And so then they start wondering, well, how are you taking care of these kids with
$4,000
mm-hmm. and 4 people and whatever, whatever. So that can cause red flag and kick it into audit. Something else is that can kick something into audit. I mentioned more and more federal agencies getting online and actually talking to each other. What I noticed last year with a lot of the audit letters that I saw, they were in a certain, like the IRS has service centers and each one basically covers certain things. We were seeing this, we noticed this pattern that when it was, say, a single person with the 3 kids, it went to a certain service center and then
Austin, Texas.
No, it wasn't. Found out that those kids, you know, through the whole audit process, found out that those kids were actually on someone else's housing and DSNAP. So it was like, yeah. So then I put in a call to some agents that I know at the IRS and, you know, just started asking questions and found out that, as I said, federal agencies are starting to talk because they are trying to cut down on all this money that they are giving out fraudulently.
So that debunks my theory. My theory was that, you know, much like musical chairs, we playing musical.
Oh,
kids.
It's random too. Don't.
No, not random. Oh. But all right. So let's say little kid, Kayla. That's her name. All right. Mm-hmm. So Johnny claimed Kayla in 2016, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Then Tiffany claimed Kayla in 2017. Mm-hmm. Then Bobby claimed Kayla in 2018. So 2019, homegirl about to sell Kayla again, and boom, that tax return gets audited because it's like, wait, how? Three different people prior claim this child.
That could be one of the parameters too. Hmm. Like I said, when the IRS instituted their red flags, they built all sorts of things into that. And, you know, they hold a lot of data. So they built a lot of if this, then that into that system to try to capture the fraudulent tax returns or the ones that may or may not pass the sniff test.
So another question then, and see, all this is going somewhere in a roundabout way. We're getting back to the STEMI, but why is it that people that I know that of our mid to high income people, right? Mm-hmm. When they file a tax return, say there is a refund, right? Mm-hmm. They get their refund like that. Mm-hmm. But low income people, they can be waiting 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks, if not longer. Whereas, again, the higher earners are like, boom, filed. I got my shit.
Because of exactly what we were just talking about.
So why doesn't that affect the higher earners?
Now I'm going to tell you why. Because if you have a tax return with earned income credit, additional child tax credit and additional child tax credit, American Opportunity credit, anything that's free money, the IRS is slower to release those. Matter of fact, up until, you know, I talked about making their red flag parameters more stringent. Well, that the same year that they did that, they made it law that the IRS could not start processing tax returns that had earned income credit or additional or child tax credit on them until February the 15th of every year. And the reason why they did that is because employers are supposed to have information returns listing income into the IRS by January 31st. Like, they're supposed to send that information into the IRS. So,
and if they don't, Walmart,
you're supposed to be penalized.
Walmart, you remember that a couple years ago when Walmart did not meet the debt? What is it, like a 1099 K? Not K.
It's a 1096.
1096, right. Uh-huh. Did not file their shit. And the only reason I know that is because Becky had to do that one year for one of her places she worked at. Mm-hmm. And, yo, they were scrambling last minute.
Right, because you get penalized. The percentage of
millions. Like, and Becky's job, her former job, was nothing like a Walmart, but it was at a bank, and they were on the cusp of having to pay millions. Oh, so yeah. I can only imagine. I know Walmart did get fined that year. Mm-hmm. So January 31st, that shit has to be in.
It's supposed to be in, or you get penalized. And so somebody at the IRS had a thought like, wait, we can wait until after we get this income information to actually see if it lines up with what's on the tax return. And what's crazy about that is, you know, Dan talked about loopholes and things that people used to do. Pretty much these days, people still do it, though, make up W-2s, but it's actual companies that they use.
EIN numbers.
Right, EIN numbers, actual companies. Not necessarily somebody who worked there.
Damn, that's redundant. I hate when other people do it, but I find myself doing it too.
What?
EIN number. And for those of you who don't get it, EIN stands for Employer Identification Number.
Number. Right. So these people still do it. the IRS is onto it and they catch them more often than not, but some people still get away with it. I'm actually tracking about 6 people right now.
Oh, you a snitch. You working for the feds.
No, this is for my own purposes.
Okay.
I am actually tracking 6 people right now that I know filed fraudulent tax returns using fraudulent W-2s, trying to see if the IRS actually is going to pay them.
I bet you. All right. So there's 6 of them, you say?
6.
I bet 3 get paid.
But
3
you know
don't.
What? 3 got paid, but not federally.
So they got state.
Right.
Huh.
So state Louisiana, they are real dumb, but you know, that's a totally another, that's a different story, different right. show. But so you can still get away with fraud, but the IRS is getting more and more savvy. Technology is getting better and the net is tightening to the point where, like I said at the top of the show, back in the day, you would file a tax return, sometimes not even 10 days later. Sometimes 2 or 3 days later, you'd have the whole thing in your hand. And people got spoiled. Now, that's not happening. You know, like I said, put it into law. They cannot legally start processing. And this is just processing the return, not the refund. They can't start processing those returns that have earned income credit, child tax credit, additional child tax credit on them.
Didn't
until
they do the
February
same with
15th.
Schedule A too?
No, that was just a glitch.
Okay.
Their system wasn't set up.
Now,
but
the reason we're talking about all these kids mm-hmm. on this tax return is because now all of our people out here that are selling their kids, doing this, that, and the other,
going ballistic,
are losing their fucking minds.
People are dying.
Yes.
Literally. I don't know if you remember me telling you about that.
The one dude killed his baby mama's
mother, her brother, her niece, and her 7-year-old daughter.
Over 700 funky ass dollars.
Because he wanted half.
Yeah, it was 1400, wasn't it? And then 700 half.
He wanted half. From the way I read the article, he wanted half of the whole check that she received.
Oh, wait, no, because 1400 is just for one person.
Right,
so we're
just,
looking at,
right.
yeah,
he wanted half, even though, from my understanding, he was only the father to her last child.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted half of her whole stimulus check.
And then what's crazy is the chick even tried to pay him a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, like, here, yeah. take $500 uh-huh. or whatever. Right. Nah, I want half.
Is what he said.
And yo, then I'm pretty sure there's going to be more cases that we hear about in the coming months where brothers and sisters and sisters, friends are killing each other over this shit. Because now that I've let you pay me, I've sold my kids to you for all these years. Now my kids worth $1,400.
No, I'm sorry. They're worth more than that. Because if you think about the first stim, that was 5. The second was 6.
So 11.
And then 14. That's
so $2,500.
A piece.
Right.
And I don't even have to do nothing.
And just like the meme, Brenda mad she threw $1,400 in the garbage.
Yeah.
Like, yo, now I want my stimulus. And it's like, I've been selling you my kids for all these years. You've been benefiting financially. I've been benefiting financially. But now I want the full 100%.
Correct.
Stimulus because
I have
that
these 5
is
kids.
Mine.
I need $2,500 for each.
And the people that are claiming these kids and getting this stimulus money is like, suck my motherfucking dick or clit, whatever they got,
pretty much. And it's, and you know, you say that and I giggled a little when you said that, but literally I have people that call my office every day and the question that I hear is, who money that is? Do I need to give her this money? And I'm like, so me being who I am, I say,
who is her?
One, who are you? Because, you know, I don't hear, hi, my name is blah, 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 blah. I pick up the phone and I say, hello, my name is Ann. How may I assist you? And I hear, man, look, she said I got to get her money. Do I have to give it? It does that money belong to her? And so it's like, I'm sorry, who are you? Is the first thing. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry. My name is X, Y, you know, John Doe. And so then I'm like, okay, Mr. Doe, what exactly are you talking about? And then they go on to tell me the story about how Brenda, he been carrying Brenda's kids for the last 5 years. And him and Brenda get along just fine.
And for those of you outside of Louisiana, carrying is claiming them as dependents.
Right.
Or, as one of my favorite people would say, can I carry my sister kids? It depends. How strong are you?
So, I have been carrying Brenda's kids for the last 5 years. And now she say, I owe her all my stimulus money. Okay, sir. Whose return was it on? I mean, did Brenda file a tax return with her kids? No, I carried them kids and I got all them stimuluses. Okay, well, you know, it is your tax return and that refund, it came in your name, correct? So it is yours. Well, you know, I tried to tell her that because I had already paid her. Huh. Okay, well, you know, a contract is a contract, whether verbal or written.
So they contracted, verbally contract. Man, and Brenda is losing her fucking mind because up until the stimulus, or as our people like to say, stimulus, up until these stimuluses, your kids wasn't worth shit to you.
Nothing.
Now they're worth
$2,500. Well, you know, I'm lying. You lying too. They were worth something.
Like monetarily.
They were. Housing.
But you're getting that regardless, though.
No, you're not. The reason why you're getting that is because of the kids.
Oh, well.
Like, you are not on housing assistance and DSNAPs and WIC and all these, I mean, these social programs. You're not on those things unless you have
the children,
these
right.
These children.
But you can further profit off of your children because that's where it stops. But I can now sell my children's date of birth, social security number to somebody else, and they benefit financially, and I benefit financially. So it's like now these kids are worth $2,500 a pop. And if right now, I think it's still kind of up in the air, but the last I heard
there
is
might
the,
be a fourth.
The mm-hmm. Not only the fourth, but the
plus up.
Not that the
oh, the child tax credit?
Yeah,
ooh,
that's
boy.
Supposed
ooh.
To be like a monthly ooh. Payment. With, and I don't understand that. Why monthly? Why? Because right now, let's keep it real. The federal government, we're all suffering because of COVID, but the federal government is fucking the IRS. The IRS could barely keep up with tax returns. Now they have to, they're over all this stimulus stuff.
See, the problem is this. There is no other federal agency that could have handled disbursement of these funds. Think about it. Like, think about it. Who else has all your information? Who else has all this information readily available and the infrastructure to actually get this done?
From my understanding, the infrastructure was not there, though.
They had to build it. They did have to build it, but it was they built it off a platform that they already have. The IRS already sends people money via check, direct deposit, X, Y, and Z. They already do that.
How did Trump's name get on that first check?
Because he needed America to know that he was with them.
I know why, but how?
He needed
did the IRS?
Mm-mm. Well, you know, the IRS is a department or arm of the Department of Treasury. So he have Mnuchin who like...
Here, scan the signature.
Like, hold on.
Yo, because he held those checks up for
a
good month and a half.
That is correct.
Because his name wasn't on them. But anyway, so they're still fucking IRS. IRS is swamped. And then they do this in the middle of a tax season.
Well, they do it before tax season begins. And which sent the IRS scrambling, which made the IRS push back. Because normally the IRS would open
like the
around
second,
the beginning of January
yeah.
for testing and other things. But they pushed it all the way back. February. To February.
Right.
Because they were so busy trying to push out these stimulus payments, also known as economic impact payments.
Wait, so with that, okay, so you said the IRS cannot start processing the tax returns with the earned income credit, child tax credit on February 15th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until February 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Did that get pushed back as well?
No, it didn't. Okay. But my tax return, your tax return, people's who don't have earned income credit, child tax credit, all those got pushed back because normally those will start processing as soon as the IRS opens up. They can start processing those.
Mm-hmm.
So think about the millions of Americans who don't have those things on their tax returns. Their returns got pushed back.
Hmm.
And there are some people, you know, you mentioned how screwed up it is at the IRS. This is like the first year that I actually have empathy for the people who work at the IRS. Because you are literally, they are still, that's why at the beginning of the show, I said, contrary to popular belief, the IRS is manned by human beings, not computers. Because you have people who are angry at the fact that all of this has been pushed back. But you have to realize that COVID affected the IRS just like it did any other business. 80% of their workforce is still working from home. And there is not like they can't really do 100% of the things that they would normally have done in their houses. I had an IRS agent tell me, you know, I was trying to get some notices sent to me that my client had not received. And the agent literally said to me, okay, I can't send you the notices. You know, I'm still working from home. I would have to press a button for it to be printed out at one of the service centers, send an email to someone who would be at the service center, and then have them mail it to you. That is literally how they are doing things.
Whereas they would have normally been able to fax it or email it.
Right, because they would have been in the service center actually able to print it out, get it faxed, or send it faxed. It's like they are working the infrastructure that they're using. You know, they had to build true. They had to build new stuff. But it's crazy. So like I said, I have empathy for them because they are still trying to process 2019 tax returns.
Mm-hmm.
Because they shut down for about 6 months last year. So they are still processed. There are like 7 million tax returns from 2019 that still have not been processed.
Man, I don't have empathy because all they did was just slap some shit together. And I mean, I guess it's working.
How you gonna do? You lucky that they're doing that.
I would have created a whole new agency based off of the IRS's infrastructure. They're going to share the infrastructure, but I would have had a different agency. It would have been called the United States Economic Policy Enforcement Agency.
Yeah, but you know you can't do USPI. That like that. You know,
they did Homeland you know, like that.
You know, but see, the thing is, they had to vote to do that.
Okay.
They had to vote to do
Let's
that.
Vote.
And then you get a director. Then you put a staff in place. That was too much time. Everything was urgent. They needed money in the pocket, people's pockets right then. People were literally starving, being put out on the streets.
They weren't because it was a rental eviction moratorium.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. When George Bush sent me my $300 back in 2001, right? Man.
I ain't get that either.
Did that, see? You've been rich your whole life, son. I'm telling you, I've been poor my whole life. Did that come from the IRS? I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So anyway, let's get into the real information that I wanted to share with people is, okay, for those of you who don't, I'm pretty sure all of our listeners have direct deposit. I would hope so. If you're listening to podcasts, I'm pretty sure you like an electronics person. But there are, and it's surprising how many people don't have direct deposit, don't have bank accounts. Especially in our community. We've talked about that before.
It's not surprising then. We know that
me.
People in our communities are severely
underbanked
yeah. or unbanked, period. Like, there are so many people.
Man, why are you talking to Alexa?
There are so many people. Why Alexa so nosy? She listening to me. I didn't even say her name. That you see with these prepaid debit cards, you know, like, and now with the advent of Cash App, and you know, Cash App has a Cash App card,
mm-hmm.
Cash App cards, Netspin, and that is literally their bank accounts.
But see, I still don't understand why. Now, what I do understand is, I know back in the day, I used to have an account with this bank called First Union Bank back in DC, right? I think they shut down and somebody bought them. But I'm like, I withdrew way too much money from my account to the point where I was in the negative, right? So I used to have to go deposit my paychecks at an ATM. They had this thing where you put your ATM card in, then you slide your paycheck in, then you key on the keypad how much your paycheck's for, and then the little thing sucks it in, the little ATM thing sucks it in. And anyway, then your paycheck was available, I want to say the next business day or so. But I got to the point where I was so in the negative that I stopped depositing my paychecks, because I'm like, shit, I'm $100 in the negative. So if I put my $500 paycheck in here, they're going to take $100? Hell nah. So I started going to the check cashing spots and paying a little $10, $20, $30 to cash my checks. And I left that bank account in the negative. Then they started sending out notices like, yo, if you don't pay us, we're going to have to close your account. Well, close the bitch then. Shit, I don't care. But I think because they went out of business, I want to say because they went out of business, I never had to pay them, because that shit never even got sent to collections or anything. So I can see that being a reason that a lot of our people are kind of scared of banks. Situations like that where you overdraw and you end up owing that particular bank some money.
Well, besides that, think about this. Why would I have a bank account when, and I'm not saying this is everybody, I'm making general statements, generalities, just putting it out there why some people would not have a bank account. If I am living paycheck to paycheck, what am I putting in a bank? That's number one. If
Let me answer that for you from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a place to hold my money, because I grew up in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I was a child in the 80s, but I grew up in the 80s and 90s. Go ahead, walk around with your paycheck in your pocket here.
Right. I get that. But for most people, before they even get that money in hand, it's already spent.
Right.
Right. Because I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I'm not saving a dollar. Right. So I don't need a place to hold it, because this is what's going to happen, especially with the advent of these cash cards, you know, these prepaid cards. My money goes on this card and I go and I get a money order. I pay my rent. I get a money order. I pay my utilities, or
I think I pay my utilities electronically.
Right. I pay my utilities online or something like that. I don't have anything to put in a bank account. Not even a dollar, because every dollar that I have, it's already accounted for.
But it's still going into a bank account by using these cash apps and the green dots.
Yeah, but guess what I don't have to do?
What?
I don't have to apply, and I don't have to worry about overdrafts with you like you did. You know, I don't have to worry about bouncing checks. I don't have to do any of that. Once the money on my card is gone, it's gone. And transactions get declined. That's it.
Well, I mean, I know banks nowadays are very hesitant to do the overdraft situation. And I got this charge, random.
Wait, back that up. Back that up. Overdraft?
Banks are hesitant to do overdraft. Like, I've seen bank accounts where it's like they don't offer overdraft protection.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. If you don't offer overdraft protection, there's nothing.
Nothing to stop you from overdrawing?
Correct. Or? There's nothing to stop
okay.
you from being
okay.
overdrawn.
I thought that protection means
no.
something costs $100. I got $99. The bank like, we got you, because
no.
we know you're good for
no.
it. That's your protection.
Overdraft protection is basically you have another account that they will take the money from.
That's the random shit I was just about to say. Let me tell
put
you.
Put it in there.
I had this is at my old credit union. I had savings checking. I keep my checking balance as low as possible. I kind of determined years ago what I need to have in my checking account, right? And that's for stuff like living in New Orleans where I could get robbed. I could get jacked. You know what? All I got is like $283 in there. But I mean, take it. But one day I did some shit and either my direct deposit was like a day late or something. And that overdraft shit kicked in, right? So boom, my credit union went into my checking account, moved money to cover the difference from my checking
account. And yeah, moved money into my
checking. But that's not all. There was a fucking $50 fee for them to do that shit.
That's correct.
And yo, I'm on the phone like, who the fuck told y'all to take money out of my savings?
When you told them you wanted overdraft protection.
They never said that shit costs $50.
Oh yeah, and you see, this is what, like I said, this is why. And then you have, that was another reason, you have people who actually did the right thing. They opened up bank accounts, but got hit with the overdraft situation. So when you start having a situation where charge after charge after charge keeps going through and you keep getting hit with these $25, I actually had a client, kid you not, had a client owed their bank money. Like, I don't know if the person who prepared her taxes, if she didn't give them new direct deposit information or forgot to take the old direct deposit information off. But in the end, the money went to that account that was overdrawn. And you know what the bank did?
Kept all that shit.
Sucked it all up. She owed the bank in overdraft fees and other monies. She owed the bank like, I think it was like almost $2,000. And I could not understand how you get to the point where you owe your bank $2,000.
That's some bullshit. The bank should not allow you to withdraw. And I know a lot of it has to do with electronic payments using cards because no, we can't just settle this right here. But you should not be able to withdraw more than, let's say, $20, leave your account less than $20. You shouldn't be able to do that. And then,
yeah, but you know what some people do? Let me tell you what some people do. All right. So you have, and especially when you remember when you could float a check?
I never wrote a check in my life.
Well, let me tell you how, like, I think they used to call it check kiting. Are floating a
check? Wait, is that what my mama used to do when she used to go to the grocery store and post-date the shit?
No, you write a check. It takes that place that you're writing a check time to actually bring that check to be deposited and whatever, whatever. So you go write a check here, you go write a check there, you go write a check in this place, knowing that you don't have no money to cover none of that in there, or you have enough money to cover one. But that was before electronic checks, because now, you know, you can scan the check and they give you the check back. It acts like a debit card. But before then, you were able to write all these checks because it would take time for those transactions to actually settle. So you could play like Monopoly, move some stuff around, do whatever to try to cover it all.
I remember my mama used to... One of the things she used to do at the grocery store is kind of like a cash back situation. The groceries would be $50. She would write a check for $70, cashier give her $20. And what was the other thing? My mama straight up asked the cashier, is it okay if I date this check 2 days from now? Mm-hmm. And being that, I guess it was a grocery store my mom always shopped at, maybe they knew her or... Maybe that was just policy. Like, yeah, go ahead, because it's going to take a couple days to get it to the bank anyway.
Exactly right. And that's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
So in those days, you could do that. These days, you kind of can do it, because if you do like all these transactions on a single day, right?
The money's going to be there.
Right.
Man.
Until it's not.
So anyway, tracking down these stimulus payments, right? All right. So for our people who don't have direct deposit, right, or even do have direct deposit, maybe they have, like you said, one of your clients had old direct deposit information. IRS said, all right, here's your STEMI. Boom. They sent it out. They either sent it to the house as a physical check, or they deposit it into an account that is no longer your account. Now, you can't even get through to the IRS on the phone this year. Like, the IRS will straight up tell you, yo, call back later, son. We ain't got time for your ass.
Basically, our circuits are overloaded, or due to the volume of calls, please call back on our next business day.
Yeah. So how do you track down your stimulus that you have not received? But if you go on IRS's website to track it, it has been sent out.
Okay. And or you missed one, because the IRS was telling people that if you had not received your first or second stimulus payment, that's the 2020 stimulus payments, if you had not received them in calendar year 2020, you could tell your tax preparer that you had not received them, and they would put it on your tax return on line 30. It's called a rebate recovery credit, and you would receive whichever one you missed as a part of your tax refund, right? Well, what I saw happening to a lot of people, they would say, you know, their preparer would ask if they received it, they would say no. Because to most people, if I don't have it in my hand, I didn't get it, right? So it would go on their tax return, and then the IRS would adjust it to take it off, because in their system, it would show that that check or that direct deposit went out to you. So if that is the case, if that happened to you, like the IRS's system showed that you should have received it and you never got it, what the IRS is telling you to do is file form 3911, which is a request for refund information. So basically, it's a check trace. You fill that out. There's a fax number, which is a good thing, because, you know, if you had to mail it, it takes about 2 weeks to get into the IRS system. There's a fax number. You can fax it. And what will happen, there are time frames, though. Like, if you got direct deposit and it's been, you can't file a check trace until 5 to 7 days, I believe, of the date that the IRS said they send that deposit to your bank. They will not institute a check trace until that time.
That makes sense, because give the bank some time.
If they mailed it to a domestic address, meaning an address within the United States, 4 weeks from the date that the IRS said that they mailed it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a forwarding order with the Postal Service, 6 weeks from the date that the IRS said they mailed it.
Wait, you can forward these? I thought these were do not forward.
Let me tell you what's crazy about this situation. Okay, this is why there's a bit of mass hysteria. Because you have people like this is what the IRS tells you. And this is what is so messed up. Even though I have empathy for the IRS, they kind of effed in the head for real. So they encourage people, if you move, and this is something that I'm going to encourage. If you leave your residence, if you leave the address that you have given your tax preparer that is on your tax return,
8822,
file a change of address with the IRS. That is the very first thing you should do. First thing is forward your mail or do a change of address with the Postal Service. According to the IRS, they link up with the Postal Service, and any address that the Postal Service has is the address that they will use. That's what they tell you, right? But
that is unequivocally false.
Because the postal worker, they see government checks, they will not forward them.
Mm-hmm.
They will send them back to the IRS, which is dumb.
Well, that's for your protection, though.
But if I have a forwarding order on file.
Well, let me stop you right there.
Well, I know what you're going to say.
I can forward your mail right, to my house.
I'd like to see you try.
I can.
Please.
Easy. You just get online and do
Please
it.
Please do so.
All you need is current address. And
yeah, but you know what the IRS does? I mean, not the IRS, the Postal Service does.
They send out a little postcard.
Right. They send out a postcard to your old address.
Wrong.
Yes, they do.
Not anymore. Yeah, you can pay $1.
Online.
Actually, I think it costs $1.
It's $1 online.
Yeah.
Yes. But they still send out a card to your old address.
I didn't get one.
Because you were at your new address by the time.
I mean,
let me tell you what they do. They send out a card to your old address saying, hey, did you forward your mail? If you did, don't worry about it. If you didn't, your ass needs to get on this because somebody is trying to mess with you. They do. So anyway, So the IRS tells you to put in a forwarding order. All right. And that they will use that information to track you down. Don't trust it because, as I said, your mail carrier may not forward it. They will send it back. That's happened a bunch of times. And in that event, if the IRS says that you should have received it, whether it was direct deposit or through the mail, form 3911, it has to be filled out a certain way. It can be mailed in or faxed in. And then what happens is the IRS will track that down. If they decide that you have not received that check or that deposit, they will help you. They will either send you out another one. They will have you fill out some papers, though, basically saying that you were a victim of fraud.
An attestation. Yada, yada,
yada. And then they will send you out another check. But here's a cautionary tale about that. I also had a client who did that. Filled out a 3911 because she had not received her first stimulus payment. So IRS did the research, saw that the check that they had sent to her had gone to a previous address, saw that the check that they had sent to her had not been negotiated, meaning no one had cashed it, sent out another check, right?
Mm-hmm.
She got that second check because it actually went to her current address. She cashed it. Sometime between the time that she cashed that second check that they sent and the time that she actually filled out her tax return, somebody cashed the first check.
Hmm.
Right?
Okay.
IRS said, now you're trying to play games.
So they basically said, you lied to us.
Correct. And they offset her tax return. By the amount of the stimulus money. So, see, people thought that they could get away with doing stuff like that. And quite like this woman who got this $1.2 million deposit and said, I ain't giving it back.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't either, to be honest.
You know, I know that that is a sidebar, but that is a sidebar that I have to talk about.
Man, next episode, we'll bring that up next episode.
So anyway, because there are legal ramifications involved in that. Okay, so fill out the 3911. If you cannot fill it out on your own, if you look at the form, you feel intimidated, any tax place should be able to help you fill it out. And they should help you fill it out for free, right?
No. Do you work for free?
Huh?
Do you work for free?
It's called pro bono. And I do at times work for free.
I wouldn't work for free. Not in this situation. I charge man, $50.
Man, that's cold-blooded. $50. People need their money, man.
My last question, too, is, okay, so you talked about the checks, right? The paper checks, physical checks. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about the direct deposit. Mm-hmm. Let's say you had a shady tax preparer because I know this old woman from Slidell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's probably close to 70 years old. And she still hasn't got her tax refund because
I think her tax preparer might have
Her tax preparer put his or her
bank account
as direct deposit.
Mm-hmm.
So her tax refund has been direct deposited into his or her account, the tax preparers, as well as the stimulus checks.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been spent.
Mm-hmm.
So the IRS sees, okay, we deposited into this account. This account was a good account.
Mm-hmm.
They probably can't see that the money's gone, but I mean, where do we go from here? How?
All right. So this is how this is going to work. The IRS actually is liable for that money. I'm going to tell you why. They should not have deposited refunds into a bank account that is not yours, does not have your name on it. They should not do that. And if they do, then that makes them culpable for anything. That.
Why do they do it then?
They do it often. They should not. And at one point, I don't think they could. At one point, I think they actually, but I think the onus is on the bank to actually reject the deposit. Like if, because the way these ACH credits work.
Let me define ACH. Automatic clearinghouse.
Correct.
I be knowing shit.
The way they operate, there are identifiers that tell you, you know, who it's for, basically. So the bank, the onus is on the bank to make sure that that money is going into an account for that particular person. So if they are allowing it to go into this account and not rejecting it, I would say your bank, that bank and the IRS have some culpability.
And if it was an old account of yours that you no longer have access to.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it's an old account. And I actually had a situation like that, but it wasn't an old account. It was a card. The money went on a card and the people had lost the card. Okay. So in that particular case, they would have had to call Netspend to get a new card to access the money.
And Netspend's kind of like a green dot or like a rush card. Okay.
Or if they couldn't get a new card, Netspend would basically send that money back to the IRS and then IRS would print a check. But for these, like the first and second one, they did that. I don't know, from my understanding, the third one, they're not doing reissues. Hmm. So if the money got sent back, like it went to a bad account and it got sent back, supposedly what they were supposed to do was issue a check and mail it to the address of record. But I got some information last week that they weren't doing that with some of these monies that were returned to them, especially if they mailed the check and it came back as undeliverable or just no longer there.
But we just
they're not remailing it. They're keeping them, and what's going to wind up happening, just like they told everybody for the 2021s.
Put it on your tax return.
That is basically where this is going.
That's kind of fucked up, though, because people who do really need that
money
shit now.
Right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Don't sell your kids, because if you did, that stimulus money now is legally, contractually belongs to the person you sold your kids to. Mm-hmm. And if you still have not received your stimulus payment, 1, 2, or 3, you want to fill out form 3911, and you can find that on the IRS's website. Then you fax it in to them. And also, if you move, don't just change your address with the post office. Change it with the IRS, as well as all your other shit, too. Your banks, your... Man, that's just a fucking headache. So... this has been another week of Black Law and Legal Lies. And trust me, we'll have an attorney for next week's episode, too. I'm gonna make sure of it. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody leaving this bitch. Nobody leaving here. My name is Dan. Keep up with me. Twitter, IG, at I Am Dan on Drugs. The show, all social media platforms, at Black Law Podcast. And we about to fuck around and get a TikTok.
Oh, really? Yeah. Man, wait. We gonna be putting some stuff on TikTok?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been trying to, you know, I've really been trying to get. And I do apologize. I am not social media savvy. I don't do social media as a rule because, you know, people tend to put all kinds of stuff on social media. Yeah. But social media to me is a tool, just like my email. That's why I said I don't post a lot of stuff, but people can DM me. I will answer. I will have conversations with people via social media. But having said that, you can follow me. Or DM me at I Tell Legal Lies on Twitter.
And wait till you find her OnlyFans. Peace out.